This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to Medicine on Call. I don't know if anybody, I'm sure people watched the returns yesterday. It struck me on the way in that we're living in a society where it almost pays to be a crook, where you have, drunks, crackheads, liars, all sorts of cretins who are running the show and who got rewarded for bad behavior across the country. And, you know, I really can't say very much anymore if it's whose fault it is, because we're the people who actually are out there who care, who vote, seem to be outweighed by the people who could give a damn and who are just along kind of for the ride, not paying any attention, going with the, you know, with the flotsam jetsam of society. And the only time they peek their heads up is if the gravy train's going to end or if there is some sort of thought that they won't be able to get any more freebies. It's shocking. I mean, this whole healthcare debacle has become kind of a sideshow. There's way too much attention now placed on the actual rollout of the IT problem. Who cares? It doesn't work. It was not designed to work. It's not really an issue, in my opinion. It's just a distraction. And the Republicans aren't taking any advantage of it in the first place. In the second place, it's accomplishing exactly what the Democrats wanted it to accomplish, which is to destroy the individual and, I should say, private insurance market. 900,000 people are getting thrown off of their insurance in California. That is just a drop in the bucket if you want to go state by state. Millions of people are going to lose their insurance. While people are wasting time bringing Kathleen Sebelius and Tarver up to the Hill to talk nonsense, they're breaking the system. And the president said it very clearly in his first speech after this thing, I guess after the rollout sucked. He basically said, well, if you're losing your insurance, go to the website and get on the exchange. That's what they want. They want the exchanges to be the only option. They want your employer to drop you. They want you to lose your ability to control your own destiny by paying for your own insurance. They want this to be single payer. The only thing that I've been wrong about right to this point, I think, is I missed the kind of single payer they were talking about. I thought it was Medicare, which is bad enough, but it's actually Medicaid that will become the single payer system in our country, which is the worst case scenario. If you ask any independent physician, if they still take Medicaid, they're on the way out of taking Medicaid. And it's a clinic situation where only hospitals or practices controlled by hospitals actually are still able and are able to afford to take it. It's a disaster. When I did take it, not only was I not paid, patients never showed up because they didn't have any skin in the game. And when they did show up, I could not provide quality care to them because nothing that worked was covered under their pharmacy benefits. You had to jump through hoops to get a procedure done. And if you didn't, well, let's say you did, you got your pre-certification, you did everything that the government asked you to do. And by the time you were about to get paid, they found some magical reason why the coding wasn't correct. You didn't submit it. You had to reappeal it thousands of times. And by the time I left it, $30,000 in the hole. I was still liable for treating all those patients. Who in their right mind as a business person would want to take that type of insurance? I don't want to hear about racism. I don't want to hear about you hate poor people. That is absolute crap. And if you look at Medicaid, the way it's set up, let's talk about the pediatric population. And I've seen those patients in clinic. Every child that I saw was on about 1,000 medications for ADHD, for depression. They drug those children out of their minds. And that is the Medicaid population, pediatric. It's ridiculous. There's even studies now that say the ADHD diagnosis is way overused. And everybody who gets diagnosed with it, 87% end up on a med. They're not tested in children. Nobody even knows what the long-term effects of this is going to be. But here you are, government mandated health care, culling, one size fits all, and anybody who gives a damn is so devastated emotionally, or it's like PTSD practicing medicine at this point, that they just either give up or give in and just go along with it. It's a disaster. Anybody who honestly thinks that the government is going to run healthcare any better than they run the mail, the post office system, Medicare, Social Security, he's got one thing, you know, they must be smoking something, honestly. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I guess that's my rant to start off the show. I don't know, Dave, did you listen to all this nonsense yesterday? I mean, Terry McAuliffe winning in Virginia, it's tragic. It's not even, I mean, in his acceptance speech, he uses the royal we. But you know what that means? It means Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and himself. This is just a preview of her run for the next round. And I can't believe, well, actually, I can't believe Virginians actually fell for it, because they work in D.C., a lot of them, and they're actually on the gravy train. So they don't want this to end. Cuccinelli was painted like some sort of extremist. This is a man who actually fought against trafficking of women, who actually was the first state to fight Obamacare. I just can't believe, unless there was some, you know, interesting things going on in the ballot box, that actually happened. Of course, the Republicans didn't support him. Not a big surprise, since they want the same thing as the Democrats want. It's two sides of the same coin. They're not different. If there's anybody who thinks that they are at this point, they're crazy. I mean, they even ran, I think Soros funded, bundled or whatever, for the libertarian candidate that they put up as the spoiler. It's designed to fail. I don't think Cuccinelli, from what I can tell, he took the high road on this. He probably should have talked about Obamacare from the get-go. If you make it about someone's pocketbook, and it is, I think he would have been able to turn the corner. Meanwhile, they got to paint him as anti-women, Tea Party extremist, and I don't think he didn't have the funds really to stand up for himself, I don't think. But just the fact that they knew him as attorney general and they just turned, well, who knows if they turned on him or not, but the turnout was pretty pathetic. But, I mean, my argument has been, if you want people that you don't want in there out, you have to vote. If it's got a, you know, 25 or less percent turnout, then I guess the creeps still stay.
What do you think of Mr. Obama coming out saying that, you know, you just didn't understand what I was saying?
You know, it reminded me of the rap song from Shaggy. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it wasn't me. That's the refrain from that song. He didn't say anything. You just didn't hear anything. You're just so stupid that 29 times, I mean, somebody ran it in order. It took minutes for him to continue to say, period, and you can keep your doctor, you can keep blah, blah, blah. Everything's going to stay the same. It never, I mean, I said this years ago. It can't stay the same, because you cannot have 30 million people in a system and promise them freebies and not have it come from somewhere. What really happened is they're using individuals, companies, the private insurance market to fund Obamacare. I thought it was just the young people, but no, it's everybody carrying insurance, and they're lying. I don't care. It's not a misspeaking. It's lying. What they're trying to tell you is, or they're trying to pawn off, is that the people who have insurance that they're happy with, that they're paying for, is not insurance. It's total crap. It covers what they want it to cover, catastrophic or eye care or dental or whatever. It's a cafeteria plan. So you're getting what you want, not maternity, not paying for someone's abortion, not paying for someone's Viagra, whatever. It's what you and your pocketbook voted for. You're not on Medicaid. How can you cost somebody something when you're paying for your own insurance? You're not on Medicaid. You're not on Medicare. You're not in someone's ER, you know, getting a freebie. I mean, this is not what's happening. There's an article I read last night that illegal immigrants have had over 29 million, no, over 200 million, some huge amount of money paid for under Medicare because they go to hospitals and they get services and they don't check to see if they're eligible. And it was Part D of Medicare. So that's the pharmacy benefits section. How on earth can you even qualify for pharmacy benefits when you never paid into the system and you're not an American citizen unless the whole system is geared towards that? But had it been a doctor undercoding, they would have been all over that doctor. But somebody can access, game the system, access it, make tons of money off of it, use it. Nothing happens to them. They're like, give us more money so we can give it to them. I mean, it makes you speechless, frankly. And it makes you think that as an American citizen, you are a second-class citizen. What you're entitled to, people in Guantanamo get better stuff than we do. And if you can just get into the country, have a child, hey, you can have free education, you can have free health care, and you can also collect tax returns. There was a whole section up in Georgia of people who collected millions in tax returns. They weren't even working. I don't even know how that happened. I have yet to get a tax return in the last, I don't know, 10 years, maybe longer. I just pay into the system. And according to the administration and the Democrats and the liberals, you're supposed to like it. And if you have a question about it, then you're something wrong with you. You're a bad person because you actually want to protect what you work for. That does not make you a bad person. It makes you smart. And all these people who want liberalism, you need to really start thinking about what liberalism means. It's a code word for communism and socialism. And I'm from New York, born and raised in Brooklyn. It's a tragic day for New York that they have de Blasio as a mayor. He is not joking. A new age of liberalism or progressivism, he's not joking. For 49, he's now the mayor, and he said it, for 47% of New York. That means whoever's got any kind of money is going to be, it's like a vacuum in your pocket. It's going to get sucked out for all sorts of things that spread the wealth around and ripe for cronyism, and someone's going to get rich on your dime. And it's all very sad. Nothing's thought out. It's going to be a big experiment, apparently. I think they want to do universal child care. Sounds good until you think about what they're going to be teaching your child. Then it doesn't sound so good. If it's core curriculum, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting experience. I may never go back to New York at this point. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that snoring can lead to chronic health problems? Snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea. Snoring is simply noisy breathing that can disturb those around you. However, sleep apnea is a serious condition that leads to a decrease in oxygen in the blood. The brain and the heart are two organs that depend on oxygen to function well. Studies have shown that a lack of oxygen at night leads to weight gain, problems with memory and concentration, depression, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. There are several ways to decrease snoring. For example, lose weight if you are overweight. Avoid alcohol at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Stop smoking. Control nasal allergies to things such as dust and mold. And avoid eating dairy products such as milk and cheese. If you think you have sleep apnea, you should see a doctor to be evaluated. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. In the break, I was mentioning to Dave that I think what this administration is actually really good at is divide and conquer and distraction. They are masters at it. And we keep falling for the same thing over and over again. It's a tragedy in L.A. with the TSA worker that was shot. But I knew this was coming. They're going to try to arm TSA. It's use any, you know, tragedy and try to roll it to your advantage. They've been trying to get TSA armed for years. I'm convinced also that they're going to leave the airport because this happened outside the checkpoint, and they're going to start having access to around the airport. Then it's going to be roadside checks like it has been in Tennessee. Maybe that was a trial balloon. But this is not for nothing. I mean, every crisis has rolled into more government control. I wrote a blog, which is up on my website now, called Obamacare Deception. And I'm trying to draw parallels to a bigger picture. Healthcare is 1/6 of our economy. They've been trying for over 50 years to try to get it under government control. Started with Medicare, and now Hillary Care was the next round that was supposed to, universalize, if that's a word, healthcare, but that failed, thank God. Now you have this Obamacare nonsense, and it was brilliantly rolled out with lies, with intimidation, with fear. And, you know, they manufactured the crisis. The first they told you that people are dying on the streets because they can't get health care. At that, it was 30 million people who were basically having their lives cut short because people who had insurance were somehow blocking them. And healthcare costs were astronomical because doctors were gouging the system and just being completely unethical. Because of EMTALA, which is the Emergency Medical Treatment Labor Act, passed in 1986 by Congress, nobody, whether you're a citizen, an immigrant, legally or illegally, will enter any hospital in this country and not receive care if they have an emergency condition or if they're pregnant and in labor, period. So there's no way that anybody walked in anywhere and was unstable and was just left to die. So that was a total wives' tale. And that also, that unfunded mandate, led to the hospitals ending up, the ERs ending up as primary care centers. That was one of the main reasons why healthcare for hospitals went out of control, because they had to take care of people and not get paid. Now the hospitals were unscrupulous, I'll give you that, because they decided we're going to double dip and we're going to gouge the hell out of anybody who comes to our door and then cry poor. It's like, you know, throwing a rock and hiding your hands behind your back. So they told people that we are poor us, we're so pathetic, we're seeing all these indigent people and we're not getting paid for it. Total crap. The government pays them. They get money to do indigent care, period. They get money to train residents. So they're getting money and two-fisted money to take care of these folks. They didn't want to stop there. They wanted to take their competition out of business. That means any private doctor who had a surgery center anywhere near a hospital, they went to the local boards, happened here in Georgia, and said, well, if we have competition, it's unfair and we're going to lose money and we'll be out of business, so you need to fix this. So in Georgia, for example, there's something called a certificate of need, which means that you have to go to the government and say that there's not enough access to surgery centers, and you can be granted a certificate of need. Now, trust me, somebody having a small little surgery center with one or two ORs is not competition to a major hospital center. It's better because it's cheaper, because you get one-on-one care, because the quality is overall, you get bang for your buck. Now, what the hospitals probably didn't want you to know is that if you did have an alternative and you knew about it, you would go to the alternative. Anybody who was shopping around, anybody who was a savvy, a savvy patient would do what's best for them. Cheaper, better service, excellent customer care, without sacrificing the quality, because you can't. You have to be certified. So not only the hospitals demonized the surgery centers, they got legislation passed. There could be no more opened, a moratorium, which is still in effect. So they've stopped any new ones being created. Then they systematically went about buying them off. So I, as I said in the show many times, I used to have about five different surgery centers that I could go to take my patients. I'm down to one because he had a grandfathered certificate of need. It was there before they cut it off. And if you look at the prices between what it costs the patient to go to that versus the main hospital in town, we're talking, I think it's $700 for the anesthesia. And I think it's like $75 per increment in the surgery center. It is $7,000 to walk into the hospital OR, to walk in, not including anesthesia, not including medications, not including the post-op care. Think about that. So a tonsil can cost you $2,500 in a small surgery center and $9,000 in a main hospital. But you're getting the exact same surgeon, you're getting the exact same medications, you're getting the exact same technique to take the tonsils out. The government could care less about that. If they really wanted to cheapen healthcare, improve access, they would have allowed these surgery centers, private entities, to flourish so they could actually be competition. Not only did they kind of hose the patient on that end, they also made it mandatory that doctors who have the small surgery centers see indigent patients for free, really free. Okay, so the hospital has to see a certain percentage of patients, but they get reimbursed by the government for doing so. And in a private person does not. So they actually have to take the hit, not really get any compensation for it. And they're actually doing the charity care, which, how does this work? Well, I mean, I know how it works. It's called you have the money and you own it. And that's what they did. So between buying off the local Congress people, having the money, the deep pockets to go up to D.C. and actually help craft legislation, the game is rigged. And the people who are costing the system the most have the most power and are allowed to continue the process. Now, instead of just with government money, they want to do it with everybody's money. So this is actually kind of ironic, because under Obamacare, I predicted a two-tier system, but I predicted it in such a way that people who had money would opt out because they wouldn't want to enter Obamacare. They do medical tourism, they do self-pay, they do whatever the heck they wanted to. And people who didn't have the means would end up in the Medicare pipeline or Medicare for All pipeline. I was wrong. Turns out that it's worse than I thought, because the premier hospitals are not on these insurance plans. In California, you can't go to Cedars-Sinai. You can't go to the premier hospitals in California if you have Obamacare. They don't even take your insurance. So by definition, what they've managed to do is limit your access to care, but relegate you to the technically the worst hospitals in your city. Did you pay for that? Does that make you happy? That means people who are deciding for you that they know what's best just screwed you and now have you in a system where maybe you can't go to the children's hospital if you have a child that's really ill. Maybe you can't have the cardiac procedure in the number one cardiac center in your city because they don't take your insurance. Well, if it's like doctors, let's see how this works. For us, I saw it coming. I know they're going to put it on the agenda to try to force doctors to take Medicaid and Medicare at the risk of losing their license. I'm sure that's what they're thinking. They did it in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is the template for Obamacare. They're just trying to get everybody off the insurance. Then the next crisis will be there's not enough doctors. Then they'll say, well, we have to make doctors do it. That's the next thing. But I don't think they'll do that with Johns Hopkins and Sloan Kettering and Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic. They're not going to do that to them. I doubt it. They've got more money than an individual doctor does, right? So we'll see how that works out. But I truly believe that they're going to be carved out of this global healthcare system that we're entering. And if you have money and you have, you know, connections, you're going to be able to have your life saved. Where people who have, like the lady who had the stage 4 cancer who got kicked off her insurance, it's tragic. They're killing people. That's what this comes down to. It's a life or death situation rolled into this meme of liberalism and we care. Listen, I don't even know how anybody can even think that a Democrat gives a damn when their argument has been, oh, it only affects 5% of the people. Like, oh, whatever, shut up. You know, 5% is millions of people, like that lady with the stage 4 cancer who now has to scramble to continue to get care. Hopefully her doctors are still on her insurance. But what they're not telling you is, will she still be able to afford her insurance? This is not just you enter Obamacare and you just get freebies. There's actually still out-of-pocket costs, probably more than you've had if you carry insurance now, probably more than you have now. So they were wrong about how much the premiums are going to be. They said, you know, it was going to lower it by $2,500. In actuality, it raises it by over $4,000 in many cases. With the out-of-pocket, it could be up to $10,000 out-of-pocket. Tell me if you're working a job in McDonald's or something, if you can afford that. Or if you have your own business, can you afford that? You can't. So you can carry insurance. You can have it siphoned out of your paycheck involuntarily. But when it comes down to going to the doctor, are you going to be able to afford to pay your deductible? Are you going to be able to pay your co-insurance? Are you going to be able to really afford to access the care? So when the president says they did this because they wanted people to not be one paycheck away from devastation if they got sick, my argument is you don't even get to get sick. You're going to be one paycheck away from devastation just to access or have the illusion of access in this system. It's a sad thing. They double down on the worst part of healthcare, the most expensive part of healthcare, the entities that actually restrict healthcare. Nobody gets this for some reason, because I think they don't want to. You know, willful delusion, I think that's also what's going on with people. The insurance company doesn't want to give you care. They want to get your premium and not pay you. That's how they make money. And now they're forced to do all these freebies. You know it's going to be harder. So you have to get free mammograms, free colonoscopies, free. These are monies. These are ticketed items. These are big money items that they now have to eat. There's no way. And people said that the reason that they're dropping people is because if they limit their roles of people who access their insurance, then they have to pay out less by definition. It's all about survival. I think it's going to be a feeding frenzy in the next several months. I just don't want people to get lost in, oh, the website doesn't work. Isn't that funny? Or isn't Democrats get what they deserve? They're doing they're doing their thing right in front of us. We need to pay attention to that. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
Did you miss the show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think that people need to start, well, I've said it again, do your research. You know, people depend on the media to tell them the truth. You have to, it's all about the money. Follow the money. Whoever's being, you know, propped up by a drug company. I mean, every time you watch one of these cable shows, even regular news, it's 1,000 drug company commercials. They're not going to speak ill of a drug company when that's where their money's coming from. These people are owned by big business, GE and the rest of them. They're not going to speak against and not alert you to what's really going on. And it's theater. It is entertainment. It's not about news now. And, I mean, I have gone from a progression of being liberal over the, you know, I guess it was, geez, before when Bush was in power. I watched MSNBC. And when the regime changed and they still, and they changed their rhetoric because Obama was doing the same thing as Bush was, drones, you know, doubling down with TARP, all sorts of things that technically people were against. And the people who were running it thought it was the best thing in the world. How can it be bad one instant and then good the next? And you're totally hypocritical. And that's when I changed my, I mean, I was awake enough to figure out that that doesn't make sense. If it's wrong then, it's wrong now. And it was just eye-opening just to watch the rhetoric. And if you, 2 months before, if you said the same thing, you were a patriot. Now you're racist. You know, it was just this flip of a switch, and it's brilliant. It's actually, it's mind control on a mass scale, because if you are an individual, you are perceived as the enemy. You are perceived as a terrorist. If you're a Christian, you're perceived as a terrorist. If you have a thinking, you know, brain cell that makes you question, and you should question the government. No one should take any authority at face value and not question it. That's what they want. They want you to just shut up and go away. We know what's best. Just sit there and take it and vote for me again. That's what they want. No competition, no back talk, no critical thinking skills. And they cultivate that. And they've gone from a society. I mean, I'm listening to all this stuff about the NFL player who was bullied by the other NFL player. When I was a kid, I was bullied for about 2 minutes, okay? My mom took care of the first one. I took care of the second one as a high schooler. Punched the guy in the face. It was done. We were actually friends after that. I just don't understand the mindset of, poor me, I'm such a victim. How do you go from a parent who wants to, like my mom did, protect your child, don't you ever mess with my baby again, to, I'll just sit back and let the school board or the school administration take care of it because I'm so powerless. Are you kidding? I'd be up on that school bus in 20 seconds to find out what kid is messing with my child. But that's the whole society. We've become very passive. We've allowed the government to baby us and take care of us and to know what's best for us. We've allowed the mindset of, if you do have initiative and you want to handle your business your way, somehow you're taking away from somebody else, and you're rocking the apple cart and you're making it bad for everybody else. So you need to be stopped. You need to be shouted down. You need to be ostracized. You need to be jailed. You need to be killed. I mean, there's all sorts of things. I don't understand how in a yet less than a generation that could happen. It's interesting. It's like I have to get Dr. Blank back on my show because psychologically I really do want to understand how people go into groupthink. I understand how young people could because they are indoctrinated to do so in schools now. It was always about achievement when I was in school. You want to be the best. You want to be number one. You want to be valedictorian. You want to get the highest test score. You want to be number one. That is not what happens now. They don't even have valedictorians in certain schools. You can't play sports that actually promote competition. You can't, I mean, we talked about this before. If you go to a birthday party, everybody gets a present because they're all special. No, you're not. It's the birthday person that's special that day. You get your turn. You know, you work for things. Everything needs to be handed to you now. You don't want to work. Even cheating is not seen as anything bad. So, I mean, there's cheating. Some teacher said there's cheating and there's cheating. I'm like, are you kidding? There's cheating and there's doing it the right way. It's all gray area. And I think the politicians benefit from that mindset. Oh, he's a nice guy, but is the guy smoking crack? Was it the mayor of Montreal? He's not stepping down. And it's a loophole because he hasn't been convicted of something. But he said he smoked crack, so he admitted he committed a crime. How come that doesn't get him removed summarily? How come he doesn't remove himself summarily? But if there's no outrage from the people, from the masses, then these people think that they're invincible. They can do whatever they want in plain sight now. They don't even try to hide stuff anymore. I mean, for Sebelius and Tavener to go up to the Hill and say ridiculous things, how do you not test a system end to end and then say the buck stops with me, it's my fault, and then not resign? Millions of people have been thrown off their insurance. If God forbid they want to, but even if they wanted to try to get some, they can't because they can't access the system. So there's going to be months now where they're not covered. What happens if they get sick? There's no thought process on how this affects individuals. And that's my main problem with liberalism. There is no attention to the individual. There is no there's no empathy. It's a monolithic nanny state where we know what's best. If you fall outside of that, if you're an outlier, tough, you know, whatever, get over it. This is what they're telling people. People are losing insurance and perhaps dying. And Schakowsky's get over it and Sebelius's whatever should outrage people. Should be calling for them to be removed, recalled, whatever you want to do. They do it to people who are decent. Why can't they get rid of the people who aren't? You have to want to do it, though.
You know, you go back, you can't help but look at this and go back to Agenda 21 as well. And, you know, the fact of the matter is it's a whole lot easier to control 100 million people than 300 million people. So let's kill off a few legitimately because they don't have insurance, they can't get care. Let's throw them in a hospice, let's starve them, let them die. Let's start bringing down the population where we can control them easier.
You only have to look at what's going on globally to see that. I think Belgium now I think they passed a law that they can euthanize children, not only seniors anymore. So children are going to go by the wayside. I foresee this. This is globalism. We have been taught over the past 10 or 15 years that we're bad as a country because we're doing better than everybody else. Well, you know, we worked for it. We don't take 20 holidays a year. We take 5. People don't take vacations for a month on end. They take it for a week. We worked for what we got. I'm not happy with everything that historically happened, but you know what? I'm living now, and I'm benefiting from what my forefathers went through, period. And I'm not inclined to re-prosecute things that happened. It happened, but it makes us who we are. And I'd rather be here than anywhere else in the world, at least now. Who knows? It's becoming harder to say that. But in general, why does everybody want to come here? Why does everybody want to use our education system? Why does everybody want to use our healthcare system, at least up to this point? It's because we are different. What we did worked, and free market principles actually promoted competition, innovation, and if it works right, it gets to be cost effective. When you start planning the economy like they want to, like they have been doing, you start wasting money with pumping money. It doesn't even make sense economically to pump money, the government to create money, to pump it into a system on entitlements, and then tell you that if someone gets money on Medicaid or with unemployment insurance, that they pay into the economy more than they get. How's that even possible? It doesn't even make, they're not making any money. They're not creating a salary. So they can only put in the economy what the government gave them, which is a deficit. How's that working? I'm so sick of hearing about infrastructure. They're not doing infrastructure. I don't know where that money's gone.
Stuart Varney was on this morning early from Fox Business and pointed out that the United States is going just like Britain. Over a third of the people in Britain, did you see this?
No, no.
Over a third of the people in Britain that are quote-unquote unemployed, they don't want to be employed. They can sit back and let the government, you know, and he said, and which is true, we're going the same route. Why do I need to work when the government will give me food, the government will give me, now they'll give me health care of sorts.
So and, of sorts is a good way to put it, yeah.
You know, why should I work? And people are getting into that attitude. I know a situation where many jobs are available, part-time, because it's coming into the Christmas season. Nobody's applying.
Really?
They're not applying. They can't find people to work the part-time shifts for the Christmas season. It's, it's scary. It's every day, to me, it becomes a bigger scare in that as you pull back and you look at different situations, and just like you said, they're incredible.
It plays on human nature. Again, I'm sure if I had a psychiatrist or a psychologist on, a behavioral psychologist, they would probably say this is expected. If you make it easy to access and get stuff, and not have to work for it, versus toil and uncertainty and you're not sleeping at night because you're not sure where you're going to make your next payroll, which one would you pick? You'd pick the part where you're getting a check. And that's exactly what happens with doctors too. It's not by accident that a lot of folks have joined hospital groups that have sold their practices to the hospital system. It's about certainty. It's about getting a paycheck because, I mean, I remember times. I remember it well. For years, struggling to make payroll and counting down to the last day before you actually call in the payroll, paying money out of your own checking account to make it work, to stretch it. Paying late sometimes because you just didn't want anything to bounce. I know exactly what that's like. And the temptation to sell my practice was there at one point, big time. And if I could have done it, I probably would have. Thank God I didn't. Because when you enter the system of, you know, Pavlov's system, you press a button, you get a reward. When that spigot goes off and you press it and nothing comes out, you are pants down. You're not in a position to protect yourself. You're not in a position to take care of yourself or your employees. And you're beholden to the system. You will do whatever the system wants you to do to get your biscuit, using the Pavlov analogy, or your steak. You're going to do whatever, and you're going to be vulnerable. And when you're that way, then they own you, and they'll make you work against yourself. Imagine, I mean, just to segue for a second, I don't know if you read this about the gentleman who was stopped in New Mexico, ran a red light or ran a stop sign in a Walmart, got picked up by the cops, and then they proceeded to take him to a hospital, the first one, because they wanted a body cavity search. The doctor there said, I'm not doing it. He took him to another hospital, got a court order, took him to another hospital, and they proceeded to three enemas, rectal exam, then three enemas, then a forced colonoscopy. And the doctors who did it, I'm shocked. I'm just floored by the fact that they would involuntarily do that. And of course, the guy had nothing. You know, it was just torture. It was rape, if you really want to say it. And the doctors were complicit in it. Well, you know what? They work for a hospital. It wasn't a private doctor. They phoned him up on his service and said, come in, I have an emergency. It wasn't that. It was somebody getting a paycheck and going along and getting along. And that's what the kind of society we're entering, where I don't have responsibility. Someone is making me do this. I don't have an ethical bone in my body anymore. I'm just going along because that's what the will of the government is, or the hospital is. You need to think about that, folks, for 2 minutes. Because if they can pick up a citizen just for not coming to a full stop at a stop sign and ending up raping the guy, what are they going to do to the rest of us when they get full control? On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Come on, follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, I want people to understand something about medicine and doctors in general and this system. The movement towards centralization is not being driven by doctors who actually practice medicine on the front line. These are not the doctors who hung out a shingle, who actually see the, 30, 40, 50 patients a day, who are not the ones making payroll, who aren't the ones going, trying to follow all of the mandates and compliance issues that come down the pipe. These aren't the ones making these pronouncements. It's people like Rahm Emanuel's brother, Ezekiel Emanuel. And if anybody saw him this Sunday, the obnoxious, the entitled, the hubris-filled diatribe, and over-talking the other guy who was on the panel with him, that ought to tell you something about the mindset of these people who make these laws, who craft this legislation. They don't care about you. They care about their power, and they care about maintaining it and maximizing it. So this guy is going to tell a falsehood about people aren't being thrown off their insurance. And I've heard statements about it's not being thrown off. It's a transition. Okay, I'm transitioning from an insurance that I can afford that I wanted to one that's going to cost me more, make me take a cafeteria. It's not a cafeteria. It's a one-size-fits-all. So if I'm 90 and I need maternity benefits, or I'm childless and I need child dental care and all sorts of things I don't want, you're going to tell me that it's better health care and I should be happy for it. You've taken somebody who's, and the sad part is, those who are able to sign up are 3-to-1 signing up for Medicaid, not private insurance, which means you're going from paying yourself, for yourself, to everybody paying for you. Granted, you're not going to get very much because good luck finding a good doctor who takes Medicaid, but that's neither here nor there. You're still going to be on the dole, and it's going to cost us more money. And thank God our governor had the sense to realize that when the government stops putting in their little, you know, their little percentage, and it drops and the states need to pick up the ball, it's going to bankrupt states. They're not going to be able to afford to cover Medicaid for the amount of people on the roll. They can't do it now. So take the money. This is how the government works. They bribe you with money. They do it to churches. They do it to, you know, everybody. And then again, whoever holds the purse strings has you by the short hairs. So all these states that have taken this money are going to be on the hook for some major pain in the next 3 years, 4 years, when the government drops off their subsidy component and the states have to pick it up, 90-10. It's not going to work. By that time, you'll probably have a majority of folks in your city, state, on Medicaid. I don't know how you get, and then you're going to have to start cutting services because you can't afford to give people access because you can't afford to run the system. Again, another version of rationing. So all the people who are so short-sighted, like there was some guy who was a law student, who was paying for his own insurance but went on the exchange and figured out he can do it for free. And there was another woman, a family of four, one baby on the way, who was actually going to have to pay double her premiums while this guy wasn't going to have to pay anything. And he said, oh, it's fair because I paid into the system in the past. He was paying like $30. I don't even know how he got that kind of plan, but the bottom line is we're not going to pay for this guy, and he thinks it's great. And if you really wanted to be fair and you want to cover women and children, you have – here's an example where someone's going to be left out in the cold. It doesn't make sense. The system is completely ridiculous. But that's what they want. They want the system to be so outrageous and ridiculous that people clamor for help. Change this. We demand that the government get involved and do something. And they've got the answer for you. Medicaid for all. Maybe some Medicare sprinkled in. But the bottom line is Rahm Emanuel's brother will rule the day. Bioethicist, not a practicing physician, could care less about patient care. He doesn't even know what that means. Please Google complete live system and read his treatise on what he thinks the healthcare access should be. It is a ration system based on the sickest, on as a secondary, but mostly on who can actually pay and contribute to the system. If you're not a working person, if you're not paying taxes, if you're not young and viable and healthy, then they don't want healthcare dollars spent on you because you're not worth it. And if you are a senior, you've already lived your usefulness and you should just die and be happy with it. You already lived your usefulness. Just go away. Get in a hospice. And I know they're coming for the little ones next. Those children who were born premature, those children who have multiple medical problems, who are in the hospital for weeks and months after delivery. I don't have no compunction to say that they're going to withhold their food and water just like they do in England with the Liverpool pathway. And that's exactly what it is. It's euthanasia for kids. We already see this happening globally. If Belgium can talk about euthanizing children, if they can talk in Australia, where you can abort children up to age 3, human life doesn't mean very much anymore. And they're going to put us in such a stress situation with such limited access, with such limited resources, that people will start saying, well, yeah, I should get it. I'm young and healthy. I'm working. Forget grandma. She's taken away from me. It's going to be the most selfish aspect of human nature. They want that, because once we hate each other and backbite each other, then they can do whatever the heck they want, just like is going on now. Signing statements for climate control. Immigration is back on the agenda. It's just incredible. And while we're wasting time on an IT question, who cares? They're signing statements. They're gearing up to make doctors take Medicaid and Medicare, whether they like it or not. The person in Virginia who sent up that trial balloon, is it Murphy, Kathleen Murphy? She didn't say it in a vacuum. She's saying it because this is what they're planning. She just let the cat out of the bag. And after they tell you ad nauseum, doctors are selfish by not taking Medicaid and Medicare. There's not enough doctors. There's so many patients in the system. We're doing everybody a service by making doctors. By the time they do their spiel, it'll make it seem as every doctor is the worst person in the world if they don't take Medicaid and Medicare. When in actuality, what they're actually going to sign on for is killing patients by rationing, by denying them, by not having the line be so long that you can't see them in a timely way, and then be demonized and vilified for underbilling, for, you know, ordering a prescription that's outside the formulary, by recommending surgery when they think that you don't, the patient is too old and too sick to deserve it. One commenter was correct. Once they corral the doctors, the next thing is the nurses and the physician assistants, and then the pharmaceutical companies, then the medical insurance. Well, they already got the medical insurance companies, but they'll probably put the hammer down on them. And then before you know it, we're all working against our own interests and against patient interests, and it becomes a money-making venture for the government. Everybody pays into this huge pot. It's like a Roach Motel. It goes in, but nobody gets any kind of care out that's worth anything. And you just exist until you're in a hospice. Wow, isn't that fun? That's your future. And that's what Obamacare deception really is. And I'm trying to decode it for you so you don't have to play the game. Last week I had a guest on that talked about self-pay, selfpaypatient.com. You need to go on that website. Was it the Liberty Health Initiative or something like that? Go on the website. Look at the resources. There's Southern Barter Club for bartering. You can barter services. You need to opt out of the system now, because if we break it, then it cannot get into real – it can't get into play. And I think that's – don't even let it get its legs off the ground. Kill it while you can. And you can read my blog at drelanageorge.com, because it goes into a lot more detail about what we talked about today. And I look forward to having you back to listen next week. You're listening to Medicine on Call.